You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. Too often we have a hard time talking about race. White people don't understand black people. Black people just shake their heads at the behavior of white people. It's rare that they'll actually sit down and talk about it. Now, I'm not saying that white people and black people don't talk. I'm just saying they rarely talk about race. We're going to hear from a couple of guys who want to change that. Marvin Wadlow and Matthew Schmidt organized the effort called the Table Setters. First, let's start with that name, Table Setters. Matthew, where does that come from and what does it mean?
So when Marvin and I were working together at a nonprofit in Hollywood, it was a nonprofit ministry. And so much about the work we were doing was having people come and serve homeless people, serve people who they were sort of looking down on them and saying they wanted to help. And what we got really tired of that, and we recognized that there was a need to sit at a table. A table is an equalizer. A table is a place where everyone's on the same level, literally. Oh, that's a really odd table if it wasn't like that. And at a table is where you share a meal, you break bread. Coming from a Christian background, there's a lot of tables throughout Scripture. And we really believe that being at diverse tables and being able to sit with people who don't look like you and have respect is really the heart of what all reconciliation work is. So the Table Setters came out of that. For me, just the ability to sit down, share a meal with people, and share life together.
Marvin, tell me about how you and Matthew met and how you guys ended up coming up with this idea.
So Matthew and I met actually through my three sons. Yeah, not the TV show, but the real three sons I have. And at that time, my oldest being 11 and the second one, my middle 8 and 5, I was going through a divorce. They were in a youth group. Matthew was one of the leaders in the youth group. And it was a tumultuous time for me. And they kept talking about Matthew, 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 Matthew. It was like, you know, the Brady Bunch, like, who is Matthew? What's the big deal about him? And I decided to check it out. I went to the class where they participated, at least two of them, and I saw, like, the guy named Matthew, some blonde-haired white kid. I'm like, what? They're a dime a dozen. You can find them anywhere. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal was he knew that they weren't just black kids. He knew they were Polynesian, Samoan, half, and half African-American. He knew their middle names, their long Polynesian middle names, like Pulefa'a Sesina, which is my firstborn's middle name. And he knew the music they liked. He knew everything about them because he had metaphorically and actually physically broken bread with them, sat at a table, and began to learn them. And no one else, I would say it was a hard time for others in that class of leadership to do that. Mm-hmm. And that drew me to Matthew, and we became friends.
I want to talk about the bigger issue here, this huge divide, this racial divide, you know, one white society, one black society, and it appears to be getting worse. Where do you even begin when some people are so deeply entrenched in their views of other cultures?
Well, we have this saying, you know, we don't have to be on the same page about being on the same page. So we are together.
We can be on the same page about not needing to be on the same page, right?
That also. Yeah, that's good.
Get it right.
That's just what I said.
I think we've got a hint now about this relationship. Okay, go
exactly.
Ahead, Marvin. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, this issue of race has been going on since African Americans were stolen and brought here. Hmm. And just that statement alone kind of gets the room quiet. So what we say is, look, we want to break bread with you. I think we have more in common than we have separate. And that tends to get people at least to the table. Mm. Because I think a lot of white people are interested in the dialogue of what do we say? What do we do? It's so confusing. If we say this, it's wrong. If we say this, it's wrong. And on the other side of the coin, black people are just like, here we go again, you know, and they're frustrated and they're tired. Me personally, as a table sitter, I can't be tired. I want to sit tables.
Yeah. And I'd say from my point of view, you know, when we are working mostly with homelessness is such a huge issue in Los Angeles. It's the capital. Hollywood is the capital of homelessness in the country. And there's so many well-meaning people, right? And so people tell you sometimes, oh, don't give money to homeless people because they're going to just use it for this. Or some people say you should always give money. And so what I noticed as we got to be real friends with people who had lived homelessly, from their perspectives, what they saw people do is, you watch people walk by and they won't make eye contact because you see them kind of calculating. I want to do something. I don't know if it's good. I want to do something. And then by the time they get up to where that person is sitting asking for money, they just pass them. So they get stuck in this paralysis of I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I think the same thing is with race. I think most people want to figure out a way to have better relationships. But yeah. White people right now are so afraid to say the wrong thing and be called racist or be called this and have the whole thing shut down. And at the table setters, we want to push through those limitations.
A person I respect, she's African-American, and she says racism by the white majority is a white problem. White people set up the structural racism in our society. White people enjoy the privileges of being white even while denying the advantages they get with white privilege. Racism is about white attitudes about blacks. It's their problem. Only they can fix it. So what do you think of that conclusion?
Look, it's not that that conclusion isn't wrong, but now what? I feel like God has placed us in the now what? Mm-hmm. Now what? So great. They've controlled it. We know that. It's like sometimes I look at historical African-American films like Jackie Robinson, right? 42. And I go, I watch the film and I'm like, oh, wow. I didn't know he couldn't play baseball. Yes, I did. Now what? Where can we enter the story and change the narrative to begin another narrative? And we feel it's at the table and it's going to take both sides. It's going to take white people not being scared to come to the table and being invited. When you invite somebody to the table, you set the table, you actually invite them to dinner, they come, and you make them feel comfortable. And on the black side, for lack of a better term, it's going to take us taking another breath and saying, yeah, we're going to have to educate a little bit, have some food, find commonality.
But let me jump in there too, because I do feel that. I actually agree with that conclusion. And that's the thing about diversity too, is that you have to be willing to hear both sides of this, right? And you have to be willing to sit comfortably even if you don't fully agree. And Marvin and I come at this from different places. I mean, that's what we had to work on. We were trying to get on the same page. And we realize we don't have to actually be on the same page, right? But so I've started a blog.
You've said that twice now, so explain that.
You're
white. Marvin is black.
Yes.
He's a little older than you.
Yeah, a touch.
So there's a couple of differences, but what else are there cultural differences?
I want to tell you a story. I started a blog called Dismantling Whiteousness, which was specifically to be writing to a white audience.
That's whiteousness, like righteousness?
Like righteousness,
but it's
right.
Whiteousness.
Right, so because we were seeing a lot of well-meaning white people coming in and still acting kind of colonialistic in their mindset with homeless people. Like, we got to share Jesus with this homeless
people.
We're going to fix them, right? And so whiteousness hits on white supremacy in more of those subtle ways of like even well-meaning people. But I would be writing this and Marvin will get really frustrated with me because sometimes he thinks like I'm pushing it too far. I'm getting too upset with white people. I try to own my own sense of working through that and dismantling this and saying, look, this whiteness that white people are the best, white people are the standard, white people are the beauty standard and everything. That needs to be taken down. And that doesn't mean that that means that we're all bad. It means that that has perforated our society in such a way that people get stuck in this. And I've seen so much just hurt and angst and bitterness. And so what I'm always trying to do with Marvin, here's where the fight comes in, right? When we started this, he asked me to put together kind of a PowerPoint presentation, right? And so I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it ready. And then he's like, hey, is it ready yet? I'm like, it's almost ready. And so this went on for like 2 months. And what I was trying to do was like get it just right so he knew that I understood the black plight. Like I wanted to get it just right. But Marvin, why don't you tell him what you were reading that situation
so as? Here's my take on it. He was hogging it. The white guy again took it over, wanted to make it not even perfect yet. It's just like he took it over. And you did. But in my mind, you just took it over. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute. How are we going to be talking in front of people about this presentation and I'm not involved?
And so we got on the phone. We got on the phone and we're yelling at each other. We're yelling at each other right now. Exactly. Yeah. We're yelling at each other. And I walk off the sidewalk where I was waiting for the bus to get into an alley so I wasn't disturbing anyone. And I'm yelling at him and we're like, ah. And
we're cursing at each other.
Yeah, that's true. And there's a homeless person living there at the time and wakes up and he says, hey, somebody's trying to sleep here. Can you keep it down? Like, I went off the sidewalk to not bother anyone. I wound up offending this homeless guy, right?
Meanwhile, I'm in Burbank, California, in my pretty much boxers on the front porch yelling and screaming at my speaking partner about him being white and hogging it up, just not giving it to me to have input in. And I began to think, it just came to me, honestly, God just put it on my heart and said, just laugh. And I started laughing. Mm-hmm. And I go, this is exactly the microcosm of the problem. We could stop here and just walk away and be pissed at each other. And I said, no, no, it's not going to happen. This has to change. Because if we can't model it, then what are we doing? Mm. And that began a lot.
This is a huge issue you're tackling. And yeah. I applaud both of you for taking it on because, you know, I've been in lots of situations where the subject of race comes up and it's not a fun conversation. Yeah. It just is not fun. How will you guys know when your efforts are actually paying off? Mm.
So we have been mostly taken in by a community in Marion, Illinois. It's called Little Egypt, Illinois, Southern Illinois.
I'm familiar with it.
You're familiar with it, yeah. They had invited us to come because they were working in they were doing something called Sacred Conversations, right? And this was a group of pastors. It's a mostly white and black areas, right? You have Carbondale, Culp, Marion. And so they got these pastors together. And one of the things that they wanted to work on was that in that part of the country, Martin Luther King Day is not recognized, right? In Marion, Illinois, they don't celebrate it. And so they were like, we need to change that. So they brought together all these pastors to think about changing that. The problem was is that they got together a few times and then they stopped meeting and they felt like it fizzled out. And they were asking us when we came to do our presentation, why do you think we're fizzling out? And I said, well, when you have these meetings, are just the white people talking? And they're like, no, well, yeah, kind of. Yeah. And we said, well, Marvin and I said, look, is that sometimes we try to jump to action. Action's needed, but sometimes we try to jump to action before the relationships are built, right? And the relationships built, like think about the army, right? If you're going to fight for something, you want to know people have your back, right? And so if black people are coming to the table to fight for something that they believe in and white people say they're with them, but then the white people don't show up, they haven't built that sense of camaraderie and trust. Marvin and I's basic message is, look, if you want to go do something big, you got to start small by breaking bread together, by sharing life together, by not just having coffee, but maybe celebrating a holiday together. These are big things you're asking of people, right? But why things don't work, we believe, is that when conflict arises, when Ferguson happens and people all go back into their camps, they haven't become, you know, blood brothers and sisters. They haven't really held each other's pain long enough.
There's also this kind of post-traumatic conversation that happens. Something happens dramatic, and now we're going to talk about race. We're saying, no. The relationship that we exhibited, Matthew and I, we told you about and how it began, that's 13, 14 years of a relationship, and really tough in the midst of a divorce and my kids, and now he has kids. So we have some, you know, something to hold on to, a precious friendship, if you will. The more you can have those conversations and break bread and hang out with someone, you can get ready for the tough conversations. But it's a pre-conversation. It's not a post. Somebody got shot. Now we're going to talk about race. No, I want to talk about race right now, immediately, before the next incident happens.
That's Marvin Wadlow along with Matthew Schmidt. They are the co-founders of The Table Setters. They're tackling one of the toughest issues in the country, and that is getting the two races, black and white, and all people of color, I assume, to talk together. All right. Yeah. Thanks very much, guys, for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.